So in our scripture reading for today, we get some of Jesus' wisdom on how to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The Lord's Prayer has become the focus of a tremendous amount of worship. I do it whenever I have a funeral, often when I'm visiting someone and I say a prayer. An invitation to speak the Lord's Prayer has a wonderful way of just binding whoever I'm visiting, binding myself with whoever I'm visiting with. For the most part, we know the Lord's Prayer. It's one of the earliest pieces of liturgy that many of us know. Freddie knows it. You know, may only know it set to music, but he knows it. We sing it every night, and so he can just repeat it. I don't think he understands it, but he knows it. He knows the feel of it. He knows the rhythm of it. We just know it. It's so fundamental to Christian history. As I spent the week reflecting on this most fundamental piece of Scripture, I realized that one sermon just doesn't do it justice. We could do it line by line, each verse getting its own sermon with more than enough marrow to draw out from it. And so that's what we're going to do. To get the richness of every word in this sacred prayer, we need to do more than just a few minutes on it. So this summer, we're going to take 5 or 6 weeks to look at it and draw out all the powerful theological, social, political, personal aspects and ramifications of this very wonderful and deep and challenging prayer. So stay tuned for that. So today I thought we'd just have a little talk about prayer itself. What is it? Why do we do it? How do we do it? The discipline of prayer, according to Henry Nouwen, is the intentional, concentrated, and regular effort to create space for God. And that's hard to do. Does anybody ever just pull out your cell phone and not even realize you've done it? Kind of realize you're suddenly checking it? That's what I mean, that it's hard to do. We fill up our lives with so much stuff that it all becomes a sort of habit. Whether it's cell phones or having the radio on in the background or possessions or busyness or reading the news or even having an Uncle John's bathroom reader. Our lives are full. We occupy our minds, our lives, as often as we can, with as much as we can. And it's not inherently a bad thing, but it can become a bad thing when all that stuff, all that noise, crowds out or drowns out our relationship with the holy. Because when push comes to shove, when everything else is cleared away, that's who we are as Christians. We're people striving to have a relationship with the holy. We're not an intellectual society. We're not a social justice club. Don't get me wrong. I think those things help build a relationship with God. They might even be necessary to build a relationship with God, but they don't replace a relationship with God. Not in our identity, anyway. We as the church are not our reason, we're not our justice, we're not our music or our preaching or our meetings or our moral uprightness, our building or our whatever. We are our striving for a relationship with the divine. And I think we need to pray to do that. We need dedicated time when we shut out the distractions, when we keep our phones off and out of reach, when the radio or TV is off, when we aren't flipping through whatever it is that we flip through, or filling our minds with thoughts of things to do or things to own or running around in busyness. It's really hard to have a personal relationship with someone when you don't spend time with them. And the same is true with God. And it's hard to find time to pray. When we have so much to do in our world, from work to chores to checking our phones, prayer doesn't fit in well. Again, from now on, prayer is wasting time with God. And it really is. And in this way, it's really kind of countercultural. You won't get anything done when you're praying. It is not time well spent. From a social perspective, even binge-watching a show on Netflix is time better spent because you're doing something, you're consuming. But prayer is an utter waste of time. And we're not used to that. We don't like that. We're told that it's bad and it doesn't sit well with us and we struggle with it. We're so out of practice with wasting time, with not doing anything, with being bored. I just want to throw in a warning. Beware of the desire for enlightenment and self-improvement. Motives can be easily corrupting. Counting on or assuming spiritual growth makes prayer really useful. It becomes a tool we use to advance our agenda rather than an opportunity to commune with God and allow God to advance the divine agenda. And this is the tricky one for me. That's why I name it. I'm very familiar with this one. I really want to be a spiritual master like Henry Nouwen or Thomas Keating or whoever you want to name. I want that. I want it for the enlightenment it offers me. I want it for the way the world will value me if I become one. So beware of prayer becoming a tool for my agenda, because then it ceases to be a really good waste of time. Prayer is the opportunity to waste time with God without the promise that you'll be rewarded for it, without checking it off the list of things to do so God will love me more. The reward is the time wasted, and that's it. So, how to pray? Well, there are a number of different ways. The first thing, as I've said before and will say again, is that the first step to praying is to pray. Actually do it. Find some time, a consistent time, to waste time with God. Make it daily. And it will be hard because we won't feel like anything is happening, which is the point, but we don't like that. So we'll fill up that space with thoughts and ideas and fidgeting. And if you're like me and you don't put your phone far away, we'll check, have I done enough time yet? No. Have I done enough time yet? No. Have I done enough time yet? We'll fill that space. But the more you do it, the more practiced you'll become. The more you won't just be okay with wasted time, but you'll become grateful for it. And more, the wasted time will remind you that God loves you just for you, for no more and no less. Now, I don't want to misconstrue my own prayer life. I must confess, while I have had a regular one, and I was very good with it for a long, long time, it hasn't been active the past few months. So it's tough to do when you're able to fill your life with other things. So hear that. This sermon is as much a reminder to me as it is an invitation to you to get back on that horse. Okay? So here are some recommendations from Nouwen's book on spiritual formation. Be silent. If you need to be silent with someone else, more power to it. Nouwen really emphasizes, he doesn't like being silent alone, but he really likes being silent with other people there. So if you struggle with being silent alone, find someone to be silent with. Has anyone been to a Quaker meeting before? A couple? Going to a Quaker meeting will really show you the power of a group of people being intentionally silent together for an hour. It's long. focus on the Word of God. This can be a piece of scripture, it can be a meditation written by someone, a psalm, a gospel reading, whatever. And when a word or phrase jumps out at you, just use it to call your heart and your mind back into prayer, back into silence, back into time with God, not being filled up with your own thoughts, ideas, wants, desires, egos. It's called Lectio Divina in a very simple form. It's a very old way of praying, a very ancient form of prayer. And the final piece of advice now one gives is pray without ceasing. Find a dedicated time, yes, but also have a mantra throughout the day that can remind you constantly of the relationship with the divine that you're trying to cultivate. Now one uses the Jesus prayer from the Gospel of Luke, though we're not limited to this. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of David, have mercy on me. He says it whenever he's about to get into the car or sit down or have a meal. Just it was that reminder. A way to draw his prayer lives out and his intentional time out into the rest of our lives. A way to draw on that relationship with God and bring it out even further and further into our day-to-day. The invitation to creation is to be aware and to develop our relationship with the Creator. So prayer, however it looks, is a fundamental part of that. So use it. Use the opportunity to get bored. Use the opportunity to waste time. And see where God chooses to come and meet you. Thanks be to God. Amen.